100 Word Stories.
Hey there! How you doing? Okay, you can't answer because it's a podcast. This is the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon, and I'm here to usher in... am I a host or an usher? I'm not sure. Either way, I'm your host, usher. I'm your usher host. Ooh, that sounds better. I am your usher host, and I am ushering in the weekly challenge. Hey, find your seat. Don't sit on anybody. Hey, be quiet. Take off your hat. Did I already mention one a day until the day I die.com? Oh, man, this one's turning into a train wreck. Let's see where it goes. So, I post a topic, you come up with the stories, send them in, we put them together, whatever, and have a good time. Maybe we grow from it, maybe we shrink, maybe we explode. I don't know. You have to listen. We'll find out. Oh, right! That means I should get this stupid thing going. This morning, I had to log into work and fix something that I screwed up. I admit, I screwed up. Something that I actually got into the documentation, and I got into the release notes as the new API calls, but I really should have mentioned it and broken it out in the release notes, so I did not scope it as well as I should. And somebody out there noticed, maybe it was mentioned in the docs, but not in the notes. And it's like, yeah, that's customer affecting. So yeah, I owned up and I fixed it. That's what you do. If you make a mistake, you own up, you take a second look at it, you see, what really should this be so that you don't make a mistake on top of a mistake? And there was another publishing issue that, I don't know what the heck was going on, but I went in and fixed that. And then I made a note. When I make these kind of mistakes, they're a result of not checking the final product after it's been published. Publish is different between books and online. You publish a book, it's hard to fix that. You publish online, you can fix that real quick. So, what do I need to do to fix that problem? I looked at my procedures, and something that was missing was double-checking what is out there after it's published. So, I made a note. New item in the procedure. Before I close a particular case, I look at the published work. When I see that the changes are in the published work, I'm going to copy the URL of that location, put it in the notes of the case, close the case. That way, in the case, I force myself to confirm that something's published and it's been fixed before I close that case. If I don't do that, I don't sanity check it. So, just a way of growing. A mistake is an opportunity to do better, to look back at your procedures. If you try to rush it, if you try to get through it, oh boy, life's not a race. And I keep having to tell myself that. It's not a rush. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And it's worth putting the time into. Still, the instinct is to rush. I want to be first. I want to be first. I need to get that out of my system. I'm in my 40s. This youthful recklessness needs to go. Maybe writing a story every day is a form of recklessness. I know a story every week isn't recklessness. Man, you got forever to get one out. Me? One a day. And I end up going back through the stories as I read them on a Saturday. And I find mistakes, or I find opportunities, or, ooh, I could change this, I could change that, I could fix that, I could tighten that up. Why do I say then in the opening clause, and then again at the end? That just, and so on. And then, see, I said then, when I read them again in a year or two, before they go out on the site, sure enough, I find other issues. He instead of thee, and so on. Like when I put them in my Gmail and write them up, and then pop them in the queue, and so on. Multiple locations where I can fix them. Instead of multiple points of failure, multiple opportunities to correct mistakes. Which is good. I think it's a pretty good procedure. And that's why I read on Saturdays. And even if I'm in a really shit mood, I try. I try to read them aloud. Because while you're writing them, and you're, okay, I'm going to read it out loud. No, I'm not. And then on Saturday, it forces me to acknowledge every word, to hear it out loud, to hear it as I'm presenting to others. So if you have an opportunity to do live readings, whether they're online, whether they're for an audience, whether they're at the coffee shop, and you're snapping your fingers in the basement of that Manhattan club, I think it's a good thing to do. Even if, long time ago, it stuck with me, there was someone on the Drabblecast forums that said, 75% of the stuff on this site is shit. And I'm assuming it's mine. Yours is actually pretty good. And I'm like, I'll take that. I'll take those odds. I mean, even Hemingway was all about the iceberg effect. 10% of an iceberg is above water. It's all the stuff that you cut. Shit, he was 10%. Me, 20%. Dude, no wonder why he blew his head off. Me, I'm miserable and depressed most of the time, but wow. Imagine if I was, you know, 90% of my stuff were shit. And even then, if you look at the amount of shit that I'm pumping through, my God, that's a lot of good stuff. Although, if you do a word count, you know, okay. Hemingway's got me way beat. I'm comparing myself to Margot Hemingway. There, no, wait, oops. How about we just move on with the stories, and I think Muncie is first, and hopefully folks are still introducing themselves. I think y'all have been doing great at that, and maybe in a few weeks I'll get the energy back maybe to do some rambles in between stories, but for right now, a long introductory ramble, and then kick it. And let y'all have the spotlight. You don't need me distracting you and all that crap. So, also, I should probably post when I'm done rambling, because I really hate it when Mark Marin of WTF, I really hate when he rambles and all this crap and shit that no one cares about. It's like, hey, get to the fucking interview. I probably mentioned this before. So, I will start putting in the notes when the actual stories begin. So here we go with the stories and Muncie. I hope you enjoy.
Greetings, Clockwork Ninjas. From Muncie, here to rock you, rock you, rock you with another story of happiness and joy. Are you ready? If not, prepare yourself. Happiness by Christopher Monroe. If you're happy and you know it, weep some tears. If you're happy and you know it, shriek with fear. If you're happy and you know it, and you really want to show it, if you're happy and you know it, it ultimately doesn't matter. Nobody will hear your screams, will ever find you down here, not ever. Not until my work is finished. Why are you crying? Are you not happy? Do you not know it? My attempt at a children's television program, I'll be the first to admit, was ill-conceived, and it ultimately probably did deserve to be cancelled. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's my story for the week, Clockwork Ninjas. And now, as your clockwork runs down, I must vanish once more into the mysterious depths of the internet to return to you once more in 1 week's time with a new name and a new adventure.
Good morning. It's Anima with my submission for 457. This is the morning ritual. What is this crap? Why can't anyone pick up after themselves, and must every single one of you snore? A pillow hurtles towards his head, and his companions all had something to say. Shut up, H. Someone woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and, geez, do you know what time it is? They'd heard it all before, several times over. Doc piped up. Take your pills, old man. They're the pink ones. Not the blue ones. Those are Grumpy's. Those ones there. 20 minutes later, after the Paxil had kicked in, Happy was happy once again. I hope you have a great week. I'm out.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher here with stories for week 457 with a prompt of If You're Happy and You Know It. Believe me, we're all better off if I don't sing it. Before I start, I just wanted to say that I get it that some folks don't believe anyone should display an image of Muhammad. Fine, got it. Is everyone else in Islam fair game, though? How about Muhammad's child bride? Or are we going to find out that there's some unwritten rule for her, too? You know, the way civilized people deal with being upset about their religion is by writing a sternly worded letter to the editor. Or hell, burn a Bible if you like. I'm sure the publishers are happy to print as many copies as you'd like to burn. And with that little rant, on to my first story, which is called The Accident. The paramedic pulled the unconscious body from the car wreck and immobilized the man's head. The passenger was dead, but the driver seemed largely unhurt. But when the man regained consciousness, he was unable to speak. Worse, he seemed to be suffering from amnesia. The paramedic asked him questions, and he simply stared, as though he couldn't remember any of the answers. A police officer brought over the car registration, which identified the car's owner as Happy McCoy. All right, sir, the paramedic said. Let's start again. I know you can't speak or move your head, but your hands and arms seem fine, so maybe you can answer some simple questions with hand movements. Do you know your name? Are you Happy McCoy? If you're happy, and you know it, clap your hands. All right. Another bad pun. Sorry about that. We'll try to do better in the future. Meanwhile, my second story is called Standing Ovation. Customs change with the times. People know that applauding is a way of signaling to a performer that one has enjoyed the performance. This was not always the case, however. Prior to Elizabethan times, audiences would sit very still, making no sound whatsoever if they approved of the performance. A rave review involved holding up a single hand and waving it from side to side, again making no noise. This is the sound of one hand clapping. Only if the performance displeased the audience did they clap, with the goal that the noise would drown out the unwanted sound of the performer. A notably horrific performance required the audience to stand and applaud. Standing allowed one to pass gas from meals that were heavy on beer and cabbage, thus signifying displeasure both through sound and odor. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
If You're Happy and You Know It, by John Musicone. At the clinic I work at, the nurse and the housekeeper are always miserable. It's like they're having a competition. The labored gait, shoulders hunched from bearing the weight of the world, la bella miseria. They're in love with misery. You know the kind. Begging sympathy on occasion is one thing, but when it's every day, it feels like an imposition. My resentment built. A miserable passed by, dragging as usual, I could stand it no longer. I broke into a joyous chorus of, "If you're happy and you know it." Now I'm the one that's intensely resented.
Good morning. I'm Richard, and here is the news. It's story time, and today's topic is If You're Happy and You Know It. And here's story number one, George's Story, Part 90, Rude Awakening. George was jerked back into wakefulness by an excited "Hello!" opening his eyes to find a blonde, frizzy-haired woman beaming down at him. Loretta was one of those women generally described as bubbly, otherwise translated as incredibly irritating. Within the first 15 minutes, George's nerves were jangling, and after umpteen repetitions of "If you're happy and you know it," during which both George and the bored chap were enthusiastically encouraged to join in, he found himself wondering at which point homicide becomes justifiable. Thankfully, a door suddenly opened, revealing a woman in a suit. She sternly called George's name. And today's other news. This is story number two, and it's called If You're Happy and You Know It. Long car journeys. I've always hated them. As a youngster stuck in the back seat with my sister and subjected to endless rounds of I Spy and pointless, repetitive rounds of songs, all supposedly to make the journey go quicker. And now, as the driver, forced to put up with endless squabbles, complaining, and that mind-numbingly awful song, If You're Happy and You Know It, just going on and on and on. It's enough to drive you completely insane. These days, I just sedate the kids. Peace, quiet, and no more singing. Now I'm happy, and I know it. And that's it for today's news. So before I hand you over to the weather, I'd just like to say goodbye, and I'll speak to you next week.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. What an awful place to die, he thought, staring down from the overpass. Make a wish and be happy, but his mind. Don't jump, jump, don't jump, make a wish, quick, make a wish. But secrets are meant to be kept, aren't they? At least, some of them are. His mind raced as fast as the cars underneath. I hate you so much I can barely breathe, he thought. Make a wish, yes, just make a wish, just any wish. When he plunged towards that perfect white line, there was no clapping, there was no sound, there was nothing at all. And this was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziekutkoff.blogspot.com. And don't forget, Saturdays I'm at Milkwood, the Sim in Second Life, at noon, Second Life time, for the writing session. I hope to see you there one of these days. Okay, have a great week. Bye-bye.
Hi, everybody. This is Jessica Quinn. I hope you all had a wonderful week. For this week's topic, I wrote a story entitled Tired. She was sick and tired of Dusty, beating her for years now. She sobbed until she couldn't anymore. Then, the anger boiled inside her, engulfing her clarity. Dusty remained passed out on the couch. She tied him up tight and waited, gun in hand. He awoke, taking a while to focus. "Are you happy?" He managed to mutter a, "What? What are you talking about, you stupid wench? I asked you if you're happy," she responded, remaining strangely calm. "I'll let you live if you do one thing." His eyes widened. "If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got updates. Story total, 7,408. Story average, 22.72. Closing in on 23 stories a week. Movement, Lizzie passes TJ. To move into the 15th position, Serendipity becomes the fifth Iron Monkey with 150 stories in a row, also in the Iron. John crosses the halfway mark. Tura is at 70 stories in a row, Lizzie 73 in a row, and Richard at 89 in a row. But the story of note this week is Tura, who becomes the 11th monkey, moving ahead of Guy David. He's a mere 24 stories from passing Steve the Nuclear Man, thus entering the top 10. All hail Tura. And I've got two stories tonight. The first, the means of your destruction has been set in motion by the work of your own hands. If you're happy and you know it, curse the rich. If you're happy and you know it, curse the rich. If you're happy and you know it, then your guns will properly show it. If you're happy and you know it, curse the rich. In the slums of New Detroit, you wouldn't find a street corner that didn't echo with this ditty. The New People, as they called themselves, had made singing that tune a capital offense. When they found their children humming the tune, clueless of the words behind it, was when the cart squad to the square was formed. And the second story, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 86. I gotta go, said Tim. Tried, said Elsid. Tried a lot. What you saying? I'm saying in 100 years, you can exhaust both possibilities and hope. How long do you think you've been here? Timmy thought. At first he wanted to say a couple minutes. Then he started to watch the dealer's hand. It seemed to be frozen in mid-stroke. Across the cube in a corner, Elsid was huddled, singing softly to himself. If you're happy and you know it, sit right here. Around him, thousands of crumpled paper balls, turning yellow with age. And that's it for this week.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. Chico, the terrorist clown, had a theory that the younger you could recruit supporters, the more loyal to your cause they would be. Kids' parties were ideal recruiting grounds. He'd show the youngsters how bombs were made, demonstrating with balloons. He'd employ magic tricks to teach the art of concealment and subterfuge. And through the medium of party songs, he taught the kids the terrorist way. If you're happy and you know it, strap grenades to your body and become a martyr to the cause. It didn't scan too well, but it certainly got the message across to the youngsters.
Across America, starting at where
I received a letter.
You are now tuned to Channel Spate, where Spate provides 100 words, with the names mostly changed to protect himself, for weekly challenge 457, using the prompt, if you are happy and you know it. Spate has a mostly true tale from the Navy, called Shipmate Personality Number 3. Let's sail on into it.
Hardluck Harwich had a cloud of doom that followed him everywhere. He liked to tell people about it. whether it was his latest ache or something bad he ate or the fate of his late Auntie June. You'd get an earful. In fact, he'd try to talk you to death. Then one day, he heard that annoying song playing in the background of his life, and he thought, "What if I'm really happy and I just don't know it?" That thought instantly cheered him up, and he clapped, and the cloud went away. But everyone still avoided him.
Well, that's it. Thank you, listeners, for listening, and thank you, Lawrence, for hosting. Hope everybody's week is a good exclamation point. Until next time.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 457, with a prompt of, if you're happy and you know it, fill in the blank. And I'm happy, and I know it, because on Monday, you can get Shooting Stars, A Teenage Vampire Love Story from a Boy's Perspective, or, and, Fly Pepper Boy Coming of Age, for 99 cents on Kindle. And only $9.99 from Create Space Print on Demand. And I have to admit, I would love you for the rest of my life if you did one or both. Preferably, believe it or not, from Kindle. Because if I can get enough from Kindle, you'll just set me up for the rest of my life. You know how that works. Anyway, here's my story. People who are always happy piss me off because they can't just leave it alone and they won't leave me alone. I'm happy, and I know it. My face just doesn't show it. I have what some people call a resting grumpy face. It runs in my family on my mother's side. If you want me to be grumpy, just tell me, smile, it can't be all that bad. Or, it takes fewer muscles to smile than it does to frown. You really know I'm happy if you say one of those things to me, and I don't tell you to bite my... Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Tora Brazoino here, with some philosophical reflections on the theme, If You're Happy and You Know It. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, they sang. Which is a rather disturbing concept. Could I be happy and not know it? Or think I was happy, but be suicidal? If we build a super-intelligent machine to make everyone happy, how would it know? The song suggests you could tell it by clapping your hands, but then the machine might just grab everyone's hands and bang them together, and it's like Skynet, game over. You have to think about these things if you don't want an AI to go mad and tattoo smiley faces onto everyone.
This is Rick, with the weekly challenge topic of If You're Happy and You Know It. It was sweet irony. Daughter playing with her dolls on the floor as his wife bitched. He spent thousands on those guns, even more on the ammo. All that time spent at the gun range and the worry of having the damn things hidden in every room of the house. Their heads turned as they heard the front door kicked in. Three men with bats and knives rushed into the living room. Three shots, it was over. Three lost lives. An incredible mess to clean. He'd never again hear her bitch about guns. He smiled. Happiness is a warm gun.
We plugged in the robot and programmed it to be happy. The robot reached for its power cord and pulled it out of its socket. So, we plugged it back in. The robot unplugged itself again. We removed the robot's arms, but it rolled away from the wall, which yanked out the cord. So, we took off the robot's wheels. At that point, it let out a continuous scream. Until we removed the speaker. Then we reviewed the code. Happy equals one, I said. That's a Boolean true, right? No, it's an integer value from 1 to 100. Oops.
And there you have it. A whole bunch of stories on the topic of if you're happy and you know it. That's it. Y'all did great. Give yourselves a hand. Give yourselves a foot. Give yourself a pig's knuckle. Give yourselves a treat. The topic next week will be, gotta look. It's the Mesopotamians. I was watching They Might Be Giants video, and it was just like, screw it. Like, there'll be 3 stories next week. I know it's gonna suck. If the topic really doesn't click with you, then do They Might Be Giants. Do giants. Do historical figures. Use it as a springboard, not as a cage. Okay? Try it that way. And if you still think of it as a cage, fine, marvel at the filigree work on the bars. let's see. Not sure what else to say. One a day until the day I die.com. Let your enemies know, let your friends know, let your neighbors know that it's going to be a bright, sunshiny day. I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you for listening and being a part of the weekly challenge. And, as always, keep it brief.